Praise the Lord. What a blessing. That was real good. Appreciate that. All right, a couple things. There were two saved today at Gus Harrison Prison. Praise the Lord for that. And that is always a blessing. And then a couple of visitors came in, apparently after I introduced visitors. I believe back here in the right, John Jimenez and Eva Soul. Is that right? Could you wave at us there? All right, right back here in the back. Good to have you folks. And appreciate you coming to be with us tonight. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is where we are. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll start reading at verse 10. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10. The Bible says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." And Father, I ask you to help us now to understand your word, and I pray that you'll teach us some things tonight. Then I pray that you'll challenge us, and most of all, I pray that we would be different because of tonight, because of the service that we've attended. Lord, I don't want to just come just to come. I want to come to get something and to be different. And I pray that for each of us. And we ask that you'll speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, this passage is a familiar passage about the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment necessarily of sin. It is a judgment of works. It's a judgment of good works. It's a judgment whereby the result will be rewards or not rewards. You'll notice here, works are mentioned often, and it's talking about building on your foundation, and that, of course, is being compared to our work that we do. Verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. Second part of verse 13, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Verse 14, if any man's work abide. And verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned. And it's talking here about our works. It's talking about how we built on the foundation. The foundation, of course, being the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a builder, you would understand that very easily. But most of us can understand that you have a foundation and then you build a house or you build a building on that foundation. And to be honest with you, this passage bothers me a little bit. And it ought to bother you. It's sad that it doesn't bother us more. It bothers me because of that little part in there in the title of my message, verse 15, he shall suffer loss. He shall suffer loss. It says in verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. So we have to understand that as we build on the foundation, which is Christ, obviously this is a passage of Scripture for Christians. It is for those who are saved. It is for those of us who have Jesus Christ in our heart. He's our Savior. He's our foundation. And it is what have we done since we got saved? How have we built on the foundation, which is Jesus Christ? And obviously, it says, every man's work shall be made manifest. What's that mean? We're going to find out what it is. We're going to find out what our work consisted of. And whatever part of our work was gold, silver, and precious stones, well, fire doesn't hurt those. It just really purifies them. But if our work is wood, hay, stubble, those things obviously, when fire makes it manifest, it is manifested as ash. But again, notice, you're saved so as by fire, but rewards are given based on what? Based on that which remains. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And so wherever there's gold, silver, precious stones, I would say those are works that are works that God wants us to do. Those are the right things that we do. That's why the preacher says over and over and over again, just do right. Because that's the kind of work that's going to abide. I would say that the wood, hay, and stubble, that would have to represent sin and the sinful things that we've done since we got saved. You're not ever going to be judged for your sin. Are you listening? If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, your sin is under the blood. And praise God for that. But I don't like that word loss. It's so clear in verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. I'll be honest, I don't like to lose. I do not like to lose. Anybody that is around me and you want to talk sports or anything like that, I don't like to lose. I just never have enjoyed, you know, people that say, well, you know, boy, it was a good game, but, you know, it's all the spirit and the fun that you had. It is a lot of fun when you win. I like to win. I just don't like to lose. Never have liked to lose. I don't like to lose in sports. I don't like to lose things. I've mentioned this before about my contacts. When I first got contacts, how dad would pay for the insurance or dad would buy the new contact if I lost it. But the first time I bought one, I didn't lose one after that. Why? Because I didn't like to lose the money that it costs me. I don't like to lose in events. I don't like to lose things. I don't like to lose time. I don't like to lose anything. Anything that is mine, I want to keep it. Anything that belongs to me, I don't want to lose that. I remember when I was probably 16 years old and the first 8-track player, remember those? First 8-track player that I had in my 69 Camaro, I remember parking in front of the apartment where my mom lived, and I lived with mom in her place sometimes and sometimes with dad. And I parked, and she lived in a pretty rough part of town. And I'll never forget going out there that next morning, and the passenger door to the car was open, and sure enough, that 8-track player was missing. I was upset. I don't like somebody to steal something from me. I don't want to lose something that is mine. I remember CBs. How many of you used to do the CB thing? You know, breaker, this, yeah. Remember that? And I had a real nice CB, and my dad, he was KDC 3983. And you say, how do you remember that? I'm not sure if it's right, but you wouldn't know. So anyway, you know, we would talk on our CBs, and sure enough, I got a real nice CB and had that in my car, had it in my 70 Monte Carlo, and I'm telling you, I was enjoying myself and talking to people and always real spiritual things. But I'll never forget going out the one morning, and I went out to go to school, and sure enough, passenger side door was open, and I looked inside, and sure enough, my CB was stolen. I don't like that. I don't like to lose anything. I don't like to not have that which belongs to me, that which I should be able to take advantage of. And I don't like this. When somebody dies, what do we always say? Well, I'm sorry for your loss. Yeah, I don't like to lose things. I don't like to, my wife and I were just recently talking and talking about my parents, and it's been over 10 years now since my mom, my dad, my grandparents, been over 10 years since they've gone to heaven. And it's a tough thing, and I've kind of missed them lately. And I've thought about, don't take loved ones for granted, folks. Don't take it for granted that you have a dad and you have a mom and you have grandparents. Because somewhere along the line, you're going to miss them when they're gone. I don't like to lose anything. But here's the thing about this passage. Here in the text, we see that Christians suffer loss. We see that there is a loss for the Christian. And that really, as I thought about that, I've read this before and everything, but I really thought about that, and it really made me mad because I don't like to lose things. Do you like to lose anything? Well, it says here very clearly, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Maybe it's the west wall of your house. You know, you have the foundation of Jesus and you built your life, but that whole west wall, it went up in flames. It's gone. No reward for the west wall. Maybe it's the north side and with the door and the front windows and you built your building on this great foundation, which is Jesus Christ. But when you stand before Jesus, you're not judged for your sin. But if much of your life is sin, since you got saved, it just goes up in smoke. And there's no reward given. And the whole north wall is worthless. A whole, 10 years maybe? Maybe 20 years. Maybe it's many, many works that you've done and many things that you've done. But you were in sin. Your life was sinful and it was wicked. And those works of sin, much of the time of your life, it just goes up in smoke. And you suffer loss. And it does happen. And obviously here, this is a loss because of sin. In verse 10, and I started with verse 10 because it says at the end of verse 10, "But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." What are you doing with your life? What are we doing with our lives? How much of your life is sin and how much of your life is doing right? Well, you say 50-50. How would you like to have a house that's 50% done and the other 50% not done? What are you going to leave out? Would you leave out the roof? What are you going to leave out? Leave out some of the walls? And yet that's the way many of our lives are. Because we just refuse to do right. Take heed, he says, how you build. The foundation's perfect. You don't have to worry about the foundation. The foundation is Jesus. In verse 12, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, do right. Wood, hay, stubble. Well, I want to do what I want to do. I want to do my thing. I want to watch what I want to watch. I want to have the spirit I want to have. I don't want to listen to authority. I want to do what I want to do. You know? God knows all that. God knows how we're building our lives, folks. God knows everything about every one of us. How much of our life is gold, silver, precious stones, and how much of our lives is wood, hay, and stubble? Take heed, he says. Take heed. See, the building material is work, the works that we do. And the fire reveals what it's made out of. The fire is the only thing that can reveal what it's made out of. You know, everybody else may look at us and, oh, boy, that's a solid Christian. They're going to have a lot of rewards in heaven, but the fire knows. Because when the fire and when those works go through the fire knows what's real and what's not. The fire knows what is gold. The fire knows what is stubble. The fire knows what is doing right. The fire knows how much sin. And it will reveal it. And our works are manifest. Again, they're manifest. Every man's work shall be made manifest by the fire and what's left over. The fire reveals. If your work is sin, it's a loss. Notice you don't lose your salvation. Notice in verse 10, he says, I have laid the foundation. Amen. Notice in verse 11, the foundation. No, for other foundation can no man lay that than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, the foundation is fine. The foundation is secure. 2 Timothy 2:19. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19. You never have to worry about the foundation. If you've trusted Christ as Savior, Bible says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Why should we depart from iniquity? Well, because iniquity is wood, hay, stubble. Righteousness is gold, silver, precious stones. God says, I'd like you to have something to receive a reward for. I'd like you to get a reward for something in your life. Otherwise, you're going to suffer loss. Foundation, you don't have to worry about that. The foundation. The Bible says in verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And so, you know, you say, well, you know, praise God. I'm just trying to do my very best. And you know, I know I'm watching some wrong things and I'm talking about some wrong things and I'm thinking about a lot of wrong things. But at least I've got the foundation. I'll get to that on the last point because the last point is we lose our reward. But you know, it's amazing how much we lose when we sin. And I got to thinking about this, and to be honest with you, I've thought about other things. I'm not gonna add them in here. But the last thing is we lose our reward, and that's here in this passage. But we lose a lot of things. Sin is a robber. Sin, you say, well, I don't like somebody to steal from me. I don't like somebody to take what's mine. Sin constantly does that. Let's look at some things that we lose because of sin. Number one, there's a loss of fellowship with God. 1 John 1 and verse 6. 1 John 1, 6. The Bible says, and again, we know this passage very well. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. A loss of fellowship. You can't lose your relationship, but you can certainly lose your fellowship. It's like I told the story last week about my dad and that time I threw a spear at him. And it was a toy spear, not a real spear. But listen, we didn't have real good fellowship after that. But I was still his son, right? And by the way, the fact that I was his son gave him the right to get out the red paddle and deal with me. Amen. And certainly, we know that we don't lose our relationship. God is still our Father, but we definitely lose fellowship. I think about relationships. My sister and I used to fight all the time. She used to beat on me. She was older and it was terrible. Finally, one day, I'll never forget it, we were in the kitchen, and I just finally got tired of it. Now, I'm not saying you ought to do this, all right? I don't think anybody ought to do this, really. I was unsaved, that's my excuse. But I'll never forget, she just pick. And so I hauled off and I punched her right in the stomach. Dad beat the fire out of me. I said, what about all those other times? Didn't matter. Now, we fought all the time, but you know what? She's my sister. Are you listening? We don't lose our relationship with God our Father. He is our Father. But we sure do lose fellowship when we sin. We sure do. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, you know the story. They're walking with God. They're having a great time with God. But as soon as there's sin, as soon as sin is in their lives, there's no fellowship. God comes down to meet with them and they're hiding from God. We lose fellowship with God. We lose fellowship with the one who loves us, the one who wants our fellowship. Preacher preached it last Sunday night and talking about how God desires our fellowship. And we lose that because of sin in our lives. David in Psalm 51. The result of his sin was his loss of fellowship with God. You know, once you break the line of fellowship with God, you break all kinds of things. Can two walk together except they be agreed? As I'm walking with God, and again, preacher preached on it last week, brother from Grace at Petronico, as I'm walking with God, I'm staying right with God. I'm trying to do right, and I'm agreeing with God. That's how I'm fellowshipping with God. But as soon as I go against that, we're going different directions. You know, I get in all kinds of trouble when I go a different direction. That's why some of you are in so much trouble right now. You know, you broke fellowship. And when you break fellowship with God, pretty soon there's no conviction. Pretty soon things don't bother you as much as they did. Cuss words don't bother you like they did. You know, you used to somebody maybe say something on the television, you'd turn it off. Now that's no problem. You know, used to, you'd walk away from that group that's telling dirty stories. But as soon as you break that fellowship with God, now that's not that big a deal. You know, now the fellowship with God is broken and your convictions change. You don't read your Bible. Why? Because you don't have a fellowship with God. You start missing church. People, you know, one of the first things that when people start missing church that I look for is they've broken fellowship with God. There's sin in their life. Something is going on. Huh? And there's misery because we were made to fellowship with God. And we may look at it and say, well, that's no big deal. You know, I can make it without that. I'm going to tell you something. It is a huge deal. It's your loss. It's my loss when I lose fellowship with God. He shall suffer loss. Loss of fellowship, number two, is a loss of power. A loss of power. We know the story of Samson. Physically, he was powerful. Killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. But he lost his physical power because he lost his spiritual power. And that story is so clear in the Scripture. Sin zaps us of God's power. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. There's no power. Eli the priest would not restrain his sons. He lost his power. And when Israel lost their power because the priest had lost his power, they lost the battle with the Philistines. And in that battle, the ark of God was taken. And when Eli heard that his sons died, he didn't say much. But when he heard that the ark of God was taken, he fell over and died. Why? Because the glory, the power of God was departed. So I said, well, you know, that was just a piece of furniture. Ask the Ashdodites if it was just a piece of furniture. Well, I understand the Ark of the Covenant. It was a piece of furniture, but it represented God Almighty. And it represented the power of God Almighty. Ask the folks from Ashdod when the Ark and God's power reduced their god Dagon to a stump bowed down on his face. Ask them about it. Ask them about how that presence and power of God gave them a medical condition Preparation H couldn't help. That's right. Yeah, read it. Ask the Ekronites who got the ark after that. Yeah, they were trying to visit their drugstore too. Didn't work. Huh? You know what they said? They said, send it away! It's the power of God. You know, we as Christians forget God gives us power. But you lose that power when you sin. Yeah, the enemy doesn't like God's power. That's why we need God's power. Do you understand? The enemy hates God's power. That's exactly why you need God's power. Well, I understand, you know, well, so far none of these are a big deal, preacher. I mean, I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to send my sin. I'm going to have my fun. I'm going to enjoy myself. And all I lose is God's fellowship. And all I lose is God's power. You're pushing aside some very important things that you as a Christian need. You're pushing aside some very important things that God wants you to have and knows that you need. Look at 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. Second Timothy 1 and verse 7, it says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You'll notice the opposite there of power, love, and sound mind is that spirit of fear. You know, you say, well, I don't mind losing God's power. Then you would like to be fearful? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 4. You talk about losing power. Well, here's something: we need power. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And you may have this idea that you don't need God's power, but someday some loved one is going to say, hey, don't you go to Berean Baptist Church? And isn't that the place that you go to church and your kids go to the school? And hey, listen, I need somebody to tell me how to get to heaven. And you don't have God's power. All you're going to have is words. And what you need is God's power. And people at work are going to try to talk to you about the Lord. And you need God's power. And you're going to have opportunities to talk to those that are around you, people that you love and people that are your neighbors, and you need God's power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, ye shall be witnesses. God says, ye shall receive power to be witnesses. You know, people try all the time. You'll see somebody try to lead someone to Christ without the power of God, and I'm telling you, it can be embarrassing. It's like the folks trying to cast out demons, and the demons threw them down and tore them up and threw them out of the house because they didn't have the power of God. You better have the power of God. I know, it's not that big a deal. It is a big deal. 2 Corinthians 12, we start getting a little bit closer to home here. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, you know, when you lose power, here's something else you're going to lose in that power, in the loss of God's power. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. How about those infirmities and trials and problems and heartaches and all of those things that come where Paul could say, hey, listen, God's grace is sufficient. God's grace, I'll glory in my infirmities. Because God's power is on me. Oh, you know, hey, everybody has trials. I've often said the difference between Christians and the unsaved is we all have trials. I watch unsaved people at the hospital. I see them crying in the waiting rooms. I see them at funeral homes. You've seen them before. We all have trials. We just have God's help. And God's power is His help. You know what's sad is Christians who don't have that help. It's sad that Christians have traded in the power of God to help them through a trial and through a tribulation and through an infirmity, and they've got that power that God's given them, but they've sold it for sin. That's no big deal, preacher. Okay, how about Ephesians 3 and verse 20? Ephesians 3. Here's another thing that your sin is going to rob you of in reference to losing the power of God. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And you know what? When there is no power, then guess what your prayer life is? You know, it's always amazing how, you know, well, I'd rather have my sin. I'd rather do my thing. I'd rather have my fun. I'd rather have my wood, my hay, my stubble, and I'd rather build my life with all that garbage. But boy, when you get in trouble and when you need God, isn't it amazing how we'll try to pray? And again, this was addressed last week. I'm not going to go into all of that. Look at Colossians 1, verse 11. Colossians 1 and verse 11. The Bible says, strengthen with all might according to His glorious power. Strength. Strength. You know, so many Christians today, there's just, you see there is no strength. Why? Because there's not. Because sin, just like it did Samson, it robs us of that power, which is our strength. Oh yeah, you know, 1 Corinthians. Well, preacher, I thought I was just going to lose some reward. No, you're going to lose a whole lot more than reward every time we sin. Every time, and just like the preacher said last week, you know, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. And you know what that is? That's building a wall, hello, made out of wood, hay, and stubble. That's exactly what it is. I mean, my life, as I go on in my life, and God says, do this, and I don't, that's wood, hay, stubble. I mean, I go through my life, and God says, hey, don't do that, and I do, that's wood, hay, stubble. That's it. That's that thing that you're guarding. That's that thing nobody knows about. That's that day after day after day of wicked thoughts, wicked actions, wicked things. You lose your fellowship. It's a loss of power. Number three, it's a loss of opportunity. A loss of opportunity. And we take this so lightly. We really do. First of all, you do something without God's power, it's never going to be what it could have been. Amen. Never. If Berean Baptist Church goes about our week without the power of God, we'll never do what we could have done. Never. We'll never reach who we could have reached. We'll never help who we could have helped. If we run a bus without the power of God on our lives, then we're going to lose an opportunity because it'll never be what it could have been. Never. You teach a Sunday school class without the power of God, you're losing an opportunity. Some child was sitting there and they were there and it's the first time, might be the last time you had an opportunity and it's gone because you were too carnal to get right with God. Yeah, we lose opportunity. To do something without God's power, it'll never be what it could have been. Your home, your life, never, never. You sit here and say, well, you know, so far I'm doing pretty good. So far, this isn't such a big deal. I mean, I'm going to lose fellowship with God. Well, I didn't enjoy that anyway. I'm going to lose God's power. And you know, I don't know what to do with that anyway. I'm losing opportunity, and I'm not sure that matters. Let me tell you something. Someday when you stand before God, it'll all matter. Amen. I often wonder what Samson could have done had he done right. Had he not decided to get his eyes on harlots, how would he have done? Had he not wanted to go his own way and do his own will? That's why, again, so many times, over and over, hey, seek good, godly counsel. Do not try to do things on your own. Do not try to make decisions that you just think are right. Seek godly people that can help you. I think of what Samson could have done had he done right. Look at David in Psalm 51. Psalms 51. Notice what he says in verse 13. And again, this is his prayer of getting right with God. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways. That means he wasn't doing it before. And sinners shall be converted unto thee. That means they weren't getting converted unto him before. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. And my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Wait a minute. It would appear that before David got right, he must not have been doing anything for God as far as teaching transgressors. By the way, we learn real quick, it's hard to teach a transgressor God's way when we ourselves are not going that way. It's hard to show somebody how to build a wall out of gold and silver and precious stone when our wall is just wood, hay, and stubble. I often wonder what all David could have done. He was a man after God's own heart. Wow, what a thing. But certainly during that time, he was doing nothing. Nothing. And I never heard anybody preach on it before, but verse 14, deliver me from blood guiltiness. What do you suppose he's thinking? He's thinking about all the people that he let down because he wasn't right with God. You know. Usually it goes like this: we sin, and then we start dropping out of serving God. And you know, we always have the idea: well, you know, somebody else will pick it up, and somebody else will do it, but nobody will ever do it like you did it. And whoever is doing what you did is not doing what they could be doing, because they're doing what you should be doing. The devil is such a liar. I preached on it this morning. He blinds us into thinking somehow this is okay. But you're losing. You're losing fellowship with God. You're losing God's power. And because of that, you're losing your opportunity to do something for God. Isn't it amazing that when God saves us, he leaves us here so we can serve him? That always has amazed me. That's always been, I stop and I think, it seems like we'd get saved and then he'd just take us to heaven. But he wants to use us. And we have an opportunity. But we lose that. Oh, I'll tell you, you think about losing the reward. And again, that's where we're going to end up here. But what about your 50 years of being saved? What about 50 years of being able to give to missions? But you haven't done that yet. What about 50 years of being able to tithe? And you haven't done that. What about 50 years of being able to tell people about Jesus and 50 years of being able to encourage other Christians and 50 years, whatever it is, you put the amount there. I'm just telling you, it's an opportunity. Every day is an opportunity, and we have the potential of losing it all because of sin. You're here tonight and you're a teenager, and so far you've wasted your teen years. The Bible says, let no man despise thy youth. But be thou an example. And you know, well, I'm just trying to be cool. And all cool is doing is costing you. That's all. That's all it is. It's just costing you. It's just costing you time. It's costing you an opportunity to fellowship with God. It's costing you power with God. Wouldn't you like to have your prayers answered? Wouldn't you like to see God do something? I mean, you know, we're so busy looking at what the devil's doing. And all I see the devil doing is a bunch of kids today who now they're wearing clothes that are all tore up. Good night, I'm going to make millions. I've got it figured out. I'm going to go buy cheap blue jeans because they don't have to be expensive. And I'm going to go rub them in the dirt, put holes in them, tear them up a little bit, and then sell them for $50. I'm going to be a millionaire. I feel it coming on. And you have opportunity. You have an opportunity. I was 17 when I got saved. Before I got saved, I cussed and I swore and I lived like hell. Literally, if the devil, I mean, you know, and here's kids that have grown up in church. You grew up back here in the nursery. You've heard the Bible from a little child, and you're looking out here thinking, I wonder what it'd be like to pierce my nose. And you will throw away. Okay, go ahead, build your door out of wood, hay, and stubble. Go ahead, build that wall. I'm, you know, you're the one that's losing. You're losing opportunity. Boy, I wish I could have grown up as a Christian. I wish I could have sang in a teen choir. I wish I could have been involved and learned how to play an instrument for God. What a blessing it would have been to go to a Christian school. You know, and it's sad every now and then. I'm going to go to the Christian school. And mom and dad work extra jobs so you can. You have an opportunity. You have a great opportunity. And you're going to lose it. Number one, he shall suffer loss. Number one, a loss of fellowship. Number two, loss of power. Number three, loss of opportunity. Number four is a loss of blessing. And I know it's no big deal so far, is it? I lose a little power with God. I get it back someday. I lose a little fellowship with God. I'll get back with God one of these days. All right, I've lost some opportunity. Yeah, it might have been a loved one that'll die and go to hell. Yeah, it might have been a friend. You said it was a friend, but you had to be cool instead of being a Christian, and they're going to die and go to hell. But now it starts getting, I think, even more serious because it's a loss of blessing. I preached on this once. 2 Samuel 12, verse 8. David's sin. We know David's sin. Adultery, murder. And he went about a year till he got right. Psalm 51 is his getting right, but this is what led up to it. Nathan the prophet came to him. Chapter 12, verse 7, Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah, and if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things." And I'll be honest with you, I have to think that David must have stopped and thought, oh, I wonder what those things would be. I wonder what God had for me. What was in the heart of God to give me that I missed out on because of my sin? What'd you get, David? Well, I got to commit adultery. What'd you get, David? Well, I got to have a man murdered. What'd you miss out on, David? Well, you know, I don't know what I missed out on. God said he had a surprise for me, but I didn't get it. Yeah, such and such things. A loss of what God had to give to you. How many people miss out on God's blessing Because you just have to watch that show. You just have to talk to those people. You just have to talk that language. You just have to rebel. You just have to say what you say. You just have to go to that place. You just have to do that thing. And you're losing the blood. Wait. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from where? Yeah, the Father in heaven. And we're looking to the devil to give us something? Every good gift, every perfect gift. God knows exactly, not just what you want, He knows what you need. How many testimonies have we heard just recently? God, the check was in the mail before I even asked Him. There isn't anything more fun than that. How about this teenage fella? The wife is out there. Before you ever ask. Girls, the husband, he's out there before you ever ask. But you're going to throw him away so that you can look cool. You're going to throw it away, fellas, so that you can be cool. And you're going to miss out. I'd be scared to death, honestly. I mean, all these things. But to lose God's blessing. Moses led the children of Israel through the wilderness, all those years he put up with all that garbage. And in a fit of anger, he lost his opportunity to enter into the promised land. How many times do we trade the blessings of God for our wood, our hay, and our stubble? God's blessings. That's just along the way. That's building that house out of gold, silver, and precious stone. And along the way, God blessing you for it. It's along the way, God taking care of you. Along the way, God giving you things, perfect things. A loss of blessing. Number five is a loss of joy. I know we don't think that's important, but I look at people's faces, and there's not a whole lot of joy. And I got news for you, people that are involved in building wood, hay, stubble homes. There's no joy. 1 John 1, verse 4. And I'm going to tell you why there's no joy. Oh, there's a smile every now and then. And certainly, folks who are living lives of sin, they have their laughter. Boy, they get drunk and they laugh away at nothing. And they'll laugh at bathroom jokes, and those are the funniest things. And they'll laugh at sex jokes, and ha, 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 that's so funny. But I got news for you. When they're alone, there's nothing. When they're hungover, there's nothing. When they're coming down from their high of their drugs, there's nothing. Just tears. Because there's no joy. 1 John 1:4, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. John 16, verse 22, the Bible says that no man can take your joy from you. So what happens to our joy? We give it away. We give it away. We trade it in for wood, hay, and stubble. Turn to Psalm 126. I'm clear at the bottom of the page of my notes. Second page. Be encouraged. Psalm 126. You should be thinking, yes, because I need to hit the altar. Hurry, preacher. Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, our tongue with singing. And then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Boy, they sound pretty happy here, don't they? But go to Psalm 137, verse 1. That's when they get right with God, Psalm 126. Psalm 137 is captivity. Psalm 137 is a result of sin. Psalm 137 is a group of people decided, we'll build on our foundation, we'll build some wood, hay, and stubble. And it says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. And I'm going to tell you this too, you will remember Zion. And you trade in a good life of Christian living for your sin, you'll remember that good life. Well, I hear it all the time. Brother Larry, I guarantee, hears it all the time in prison. Boy, you know, I grew up in church, and we were a happy family, and we had a good time going to church, and we had a good time as a family, and I went and did something stupid. And here I am now. Yeah, you'll remember Zion. Notice what it says, verse 2. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. They that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? They said, all these people heard that we used to sing. We don't sing anymore. Drug addicts don't sing. Alcoholics don't sing. People involved in immorality, they're not singing. People with STDs, they're not singing. There's just not a whole lot of joy in the Hollywood crowd. There's not a whole lot of joy in the rock and rap crowd. Oh yeah, but it's cool. But it isn't joyful. I'm going to tell you, Christian, you're trading in something very precious. It's a joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's a joy the world doesn't have a clue about. It's better than getting high. It's a joy you don't come down from. It's joy. Real joy. Wonderful joy. And only the Lord can give that. They said, we can't sing. What David say in Psalm 51? He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. That means for 1 year, he lost. For 1 year, he lost. What for? For adultery and murder. 1 solid year, he lost the joy of God's salvation. Oh, let me tell you, folks, we lose. I don't like to lose things. What else do you lose? Well, you lose, number 6, you have a loss of testimony. Loss of testimony. Turn to Genesis 19. I'm working on a message about Lot's wife. Genesis 19, verse 14. You know the story. God's going to rain down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah because of wicked sexual sins. And God's going to destroy the city. And God warns Lot to get out. Genesis 19 and verse 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. You lose your testimony. I'm going to tell you, it will matter someday. It will matter. It will matter. Some of you girls that like to flirt with everybody and you dress like you're flirting with everybody, someday it's going to matter that you did that. Someday you're going to regret that you did that. Someday you're going to feel real bad when you have to tell the fella that you're about to marry, you have to tell him about your past. Someday I'm just telling you, you'd lose your testimony. Oh, and you're going to have to tell him because he'll run into some of your old friends. That's right. I'm telling you, your loss of testimony is a huge, huge thing. At work, it's big. And you lose it. For what? For wood, hay, and stubble. I'm telling you, this is what we're trading it for. We're trading it for something that in the end, it just burns up. That's such a bad deal. You know, it'd be like somebody taking their paycheck and getting it cash and taking all that cash down to the furnace and throwing it in. That's the same thing when we build with wood, hay, and stubble. And then, of course, back to our text. He shall suffer loss, loss of fellowship, loss of power, loss of opportunity, loss of blessing, loss of joy, loss of testimony. And number 7, loss of reward. Loss of reward. Notice in verse 8 it says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. You say, well, I'm counting on the church to get me some reward. Doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. Everyone shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. his own. His own reward, his own labor. Build gold, build silver, build precious stone. Or if you build with wood, hay, stubble, verse 13, the fire burns, and whatever's remained, whatever's left, that's the rewards. That's how we're rewarded, based on whatever's there. I got to thinking a Christian's whole life could be a waste. You ever think about that? A person's whole life, or most of it. Well, I got one room in the building. I spent a few years doing right. I tried to, I read my Bible and I prayed and I really wanted to do right. But then I started running with the wrong crowd, and boy, I got messed up again and did what I wanted to do and turned proud and. What a waste, don't you think? Seems like such a waste. What, we maybe live 80 years? So maybe 60 of that, 50 to 60 years, we're saved. And we've done nothing? See, that's what bothers me about this passage. I don't like to lose anything. I don't want to lose a minute. I don't want to lose an hour. I don't want to lose a day. I don't want to. And there's folks messing around. You've already lost several years. You've already thrown away several opportunities. It's already, you've missed out on so many blessings and joy. I'm convinced many Christians don't think there can be joy. And the Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. And that's why you have no strength. That's why you have no strength against temptation. Because you've lost these things. What a sad thing. What a loss. But ultimately, we have this idea, well, bless God, at least I made it. But when you look in Jesus' eyes, and all you have to give him is this piddly little crown, oh, praise God. Praise God, you could even be there. Praise God, you built some gold and silver and precious stones. Praise God. But I guarantee and I promise you this, and I promise me this. When we look in his eyes, we'll wish with all our hearts we wouldn't have sold out for wood, hay, and stubble. We'll say those things were so foolish. By and by, when I look on his face, I'll wish I had given him more. Every one of us will. But I just wonder, what do you even have? What if Jesus came tonight, or if you died, and we soon faced the judgment seat of Christ? And all our works, and I've likened it many times to a conveyor belt of all our works, but literally, if you want to think about it as a building, and here's your building that you've built on your salvation, the works that you've done, and you've done a lot of good things, but you've done a lot of bad things, and all these things are your house, if you will. And the fire comes to try it. And half of it standing? A fourth of it standing? I mean, that represents your life as a Christian. What'd you do? What didn't you do? I promise you, you'll wish you'd have done more. Let's bow our heads, please. Well, I don't mind losing all these things. God minds that you lose them. That's why he deals with us. That's why he convicts us. That's why he chastens us. He minds. He wants you to have reward. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder if there's someone here tonight who'd say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. If I died right now, I don't even know if I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure I'm saved." Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come and get anybody. I just want to pray for you if you're not sure you're saved. Anyone at all, pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. Thank you. God bless you. How many folks would say, "Preacher, I'm a Christian, but God's speaking to my heart tonight. Please pray for me." Would you raise your hand? All over, just slip it up. Pray for me as a Christian. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the warning, letting us know, challenging us, Lord, to take heed how we build on the perfect foundation of Jesus Christ. Help us to do right, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Hymn number 400, "I'll Wish I Had Given Him More." God's speaking to your heart tonight. You have a decision to make. You come.
By and by, when I look on His face, beautiful face, glorious shadow face. By and by, when I look on His face, I'll wish I had given Him more.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the instruments continue to play, folks are still praying. If you have a decision to make, you still can come, make your decision. Amen. All right. I want to go ahead and dismiss the juniors, all the juniors, and that group can go ahead and go and prepare for the float. Do what? All right. Students may pick up their Price Saver cards at the Welcome Center tonight after the service. You can see Brother Raymond. He will be there drinking one of those floats, probably. But no, I doubt it. Oh, yes, he will. Anyway, all right. And then don't forget the mission group leaders plus Brother Brett. Oh, this is so good. We're going to meet down by my office. And it shouldn't be a long meeting. Let's see, that'll be Brother Chase, Brother Cook, Kathy Morin, Brett, and it'll be good. All right, amen. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for just great music and great spirit tonight. Help us to be what we need to be and help us to build gold, silver, and precious stones with our lives. God, I want to bring honor and glory to you. I really do. And I want that for each person here. And so I pray that you'll help us to do right. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.